This afternoon's reading is Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its covenants, with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and the members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you who are built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. Here endeth the reading.
Hello everyone, let's pray. Dear God, thanks for giving us this time together where we can come together as your people and hear you speak. And we pray that you'll give us humble hearts and your Spirit will work in us to love Jesus all the more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was almost 20 years ago now, but it still feels like yesterday when Pauline Hanson first came on the scene. And what she achieved was really, really quite incredible. In the federal election in 1998, one in every 12 Australian adults voted for One Nation. One in 12 Australians supported her views. And while we might want to make fun of the things that she said and the way that she said them, the numbers don't lie. She was very, very popular. And it was an interesting time for those of us who were Asian Australians. My sister was at a newsagent one day in a local shopping centre, and a man came up to her and said, "You and your people should go back home." I was at Taylor Square after leading a Bible study at St Vincent's Hospital, and a man came up to me and said, "You people should learn about birth control." And we weren't the only ones being spoken to this way. A total stranger was going up to people to tell them that they did not belong. Because of one woman, Australia had changed. And I was made to feel like an outsider in the country of my birth. But it could have been worse. I could have been a Gentile, a non-Jew in the time of Ephesians, because the Gentiles at that time were the ultimate outsiders. They were the uncircumcised, and if you were a Jew, that meant that you would have nothing to do with a Gentile. In Acts chapter 10, verse 28, Peter says this to Cornelius, the Roman centurion: "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. Jews and Gentiles had nothing to do with each other." And this was a problem that was bigger than racism, because this also meant that the Gentiles were cut off from God. Because the Gentiles, like everyone else, were dead before God in their transgressions and sins. And there was only one way they could be saved: by grace, through faith in Jesus. And who was Jesus? The Jewish Messiah, the fulfillment of all of God's promises to his people, the Jews. And this is why being a Gentile was such a big problem. Because not only were the Gentiles socially excluded and cut off from the Jews, but if you have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul goes on to say that they were also excluded from citizenship in Israel. Foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that being a Gentile was a virtual death sentence, because you were not only cut off from the Jews, but also cut off from God. But as we saw yesterday, Jesus changes everything. And if you have a look at verse 13, Paul says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Paul says that what was once the case is no longer true. That because of Jesus, you Gentiles, you foreigners without God and without hope, you who were once on the outside can now come in and know God and know hope and know the life that he offers and join with the Jews who trust Jesus to become one of his people. And how is this possible? It's all because of Jesus. Verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, the one who's made the two groups one, Jews and Gentiles, by destroying the thing that was keeping them apart." And what was that thing that was keeping them apart? Paul calls this the dividing wall of hostility. And this was another way of speaking of the Old Testament law. It was the Old Testament law that was keeping them apart. But Paul says that Jesus tears this down. And how does he do this? Not by getting rid of it, but by putting it to one side, by fulfilling its requirements, and then passing that on. And he does all this on the cross in that great exchange, where his righteousness becomes ours and our guilt becomes his, as he sheds his blood on the cross, bearing the wrath we deserved, as he dies on the cross for your sins and mine. And by doing this, not only does Jesus make peace possible between God and humanity, Jesus also renovates human relationships. He allows humanity to go open plan. Because by knocking down that wall that once divided us into two separate rooms, he brings those who trust him together as one. Outsider, insider, Gentile, Jew. Jesus creates one new humanity who relate to God in exactly the same way. One new humanity with access to the Father by the one Spirit through faith in the one Jesus. One new humanity where the Gentiles are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's how the death of Jesus transforms human relationships, and how the Gentiles who were outsiders can now come in and know life. And I think that what Paul is saying here has some really important implications for our identity, our relationships, and our continued focus on mission. Because what does it say about who I am? I'm Australian, I'm Chinese, I'm a son, husband, father, an ex-doctor, an Eels supporter. Next year for sure. An ordained Anglican minister. But what Ephesians is saying to me is that my ultimate identity, it doesn't lie in my country of birth or my ethnicity or profession or the things that I like. My ultimate identity lies in my relationship to the Lord Jesus, because Jesus has created one new humanity out of those who he's gathered, whose ultimate allegiance and identity are now shaped by him. And knowing this needs to shape the way we relate with each other, which is the second implication that flows out of Ephesians chapter 2. And if you have a look at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says more about this, when he says, because there's one body and one spirit, and because we were all called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, we are to be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, what Paul is saying here is that since we are one, since we are now one in Christ, since peace is now possible because of what Jesus has done, let's reflect that. Let's show that in the way we treat each other. And may I suggest that it's something worth remembering as we do the business of synod. Because like it or not, we're going to disagree. We're going to argue. We're going to contend. We're going to put forward our case. But we have a choice when it comes to the way that we do this. We can do this as enemies. We can throw rocks at each other over our own walls of hostility. Or we can do what Paul says and be humble and gentle, patient and loving, reflecting the unity we have even as we disagree with each other. And that's a trick, isn't it? And I'm no Pollyanna. But every time I've seen this happen at Synod, I think we're a healthier fellowship. And I think it's incredibly important that we learn how to relate well with each other when it comes to the third implication of our passage today. And that is that there are still outsiders who are cut off from God. There are still outsiders who need to come in. Because even though the world is no longer really divided into Jew and Gentile, even though the Gentiles are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, those who don't know Jesus, those who don't know him as Lord, are still on the outside without hope and without God in the world. And there are so many of them. By my calculations, if a miracle happened and everyone at St. Paul's decided to turn up on the very same Sunday, hasn't happened yet, at very best, we would still make up only 4% of the population of our parish. And it's not like the other churches in our parish are doing any better. It's so small, isn't it? And given all that, and given how increasingly hostile our society seems to be to the gospel, yet at the same time needs the gospel and God's grace more and more, surely if we believe in heaven and hell and the power of the gospel to save, then we need to be working at our mission together. Because just as one woman changed our nation 20 years ago, making insiders outsiders in their country of birth, one man has come and changed the whole world forever, making outsiders insiders through his death on the cross. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that through Jesus we have peace with you and a certain future. And we thank you that through Jesus, our peace is now possible between people as well. And we do pray, Father, that we would see ourselves and who we are in the light of your cross. And this would have an impact on the way we do mission and the way we treat one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.